Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and we are the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Andrew, we had a 2-0 week off of wins at Iowa State and at home against Texas. But now starts the schedule getting. Are you excited for this week?
You know, the season really starts now. This 8-game stretch, I would put up against anyone's 8-game stretch in the country. Because this is going to be tough. This is going to be rough. And we're going to need some extra preparation to get this thing ready to go.
We are. We're going to get to that, certainly. Well, quick rundown here. We'll talk about the Iowa State and Texas games. And specifically my survival in Ames, Iowa. We'll talk about the Big 12, preview the two big games this week at West Virginia and at Kentucky. And Andrew, we can't help but peek ahead a little bit at the upcoming schedule as well. Importantly, we're also going to get to the importance of prepping for battle. Andrew, we'll certainly get to that.
That's right. I think we've got some good quotes lined up, some good
analogies,
strategies,
all of these things.
We're going to get you ready at home, and we're going to get the guys ready to go to West Virginia and Kentucky and on and on and on from here on out. So I think we're ready, but let's just jump right in. I want to talk about your trip to Ames, Iowa.
Okay.
Let's get the big part out of the way. We won. Mm-hmm. We haven't won in Ames in a while.
I thought the big part was me surviving. Because last time we talked about this, we weren't sure I was going to survive the trip to Des Moines and Ames.
Oh, yeah. So
you told me not to. You told me not to go.
The ice wasn't bad, though, right?
It wasn't awesome, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. Don't tell my wife, but it wasn't awesome. I told her it was fine. I was like, yeah, it's fine. But it wasn't. I gripped pretty strong all the way there on the steering wheel. How about that?
Okay. So we won the game by four.
Yeah.
We were up by a lot more. Basically, throughout the whole game, they kind of had some points at the end. They got it closer, but we ended up winning by four. Good win in Ames, Iowa. You're not going to get a ton of those, especially with the talent that they've had. Now, they've got mostly all seniors, so who knows what they're going to be, you know, next year and beyond. But, you know, this has been a pretty stout era of Iowa State basketball, and always a good win to go up there to Ames, Iowa and get a win.
Absolutely. It was kind of a crazy game. As you mentioned, it never really felt like we were out of control of the game. You know, it was kind of a weird deal. I was looking at the box score. You know, Naz Long shot like 9 threes, and I think he made 3 of them. Deontay Burton was 1-for-6 from 3, but Monte Morris was 3-for-4, and it seemed like he could really get whatever he wanted. He scored 23 points. But everyone in the stadium kept yelling at Burton to stop shooting and get it to Monte Morris. It was kind of funny. But, it was a crazy game. Obviously, the crowd was on point, as usual, with the booing and all of the other fun stuff that they do at Hilton Coliseum. I don't know. Should we talk about a little bit about, like, what happened in the stadium and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I think it's important for people to get a fresh perspective of what happens inside, because, you know, from TV, it seems pretty boo happy. It seems pretty it seems pretty annoying.
I like boo happy.
But tell me what it's like to be inside Hilton Coliseum.
All right. Well, quick story. Last second I decided to go, right? It was very last second. I tried to find some lowers cause I like sitting in the lower level, and I was looking on Craigslist. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do Craigslist, Iowa. Let's see what happens. And I ended up having to meet some guy at some like honky tonk Iowa State bar. And maybe all of them are honky tonk Iowa State bars. I don't know. But don't wear blue on game day at a honky tonk Iowa State bar. Like, that's the moral of the story. We won't go any further with that. But I got a few looks, got a few statements. Everyone in there was either wearing Iowa State gear or camo or some combination of the two. And I was not, but anyway, I got the tickets, got out of there, no problem, got to the stadium. And Andrew, on the seats, when you got there, they had those, I don't know what you call them, glow stick, I was kind of calling them magic wand dildos. I don't know what they are. They were kind of these these light up, flashing, whatever, magic wand dildos. And I didn't know what they were until I flipped it on. I was like, ooh, this is cool. It's kind of, it was starting to kind of glow red and vibrate and whatever, like a magic wand dildo would. And then I actually ended up with two seats because the guy had a pair of seats. I only needed one. I was like, whatever, I'll just buy them both here. Just hand it to me. And the one next to me also had one. So I picked that up and turned it on, and it was blue. And I was like, this is kind of weird, a red and a blue one. And so I was kind of showing them around and turning them on and playing with them. And I kind of looked around the stadium, and most all of the rest of them were red, but I saw some blue ones kind of intermittently throughout, and just kind of still scratching my head about it. I tweeted it out. A few people were like, why do they have blue ones? I'm like, I don't know. Kind of weird. And so anyway, the crowd starts to fill up. They turn the lights down. Everyone pulls out their magic wand light all dildo things and starts waving them around, right? And you look down on the court, and the mascot, which I still don't really understand. It's like a bird, but it's a cyclone bird, whatever. You know, do you know what that thing is, what it's called? Anyway,
Psy.
Whatever.
I think it's called Psy. Psy is the name of the mascot.
Psy, the bird cyclone. Anyway, he was wearing like this sorcerer getup, right? Like playing up the whole magic thing, which is really funny. And he had the magic wand dildo, and he was like using it as like a, I don't know, wand, you know, like he was doing magic, you know, spreading his magic throughout the stadium, and everyone was kind of waving their magic wand dildos. And I looked around, and there were probably like 10% of the stadium had blue ones, and the rest of them were all red. And I was kind of still kind of scratching my head. And next thing you know, these ushers started storming down all throughout the stadium with boxes of the red ones, and were switching out the blue ones with the red ones. It's like somebody screwed up and had passed out some blue ones with red ones, and they were like trying to correct their error. And all these people were passing up the blue ones and putting, you know, getting red ones and passing up the blue ones. And I was on the aisle, and the lady was like, here you go, let me get you a red one. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Like, no, here, just hand me that, I'll get you this red one. And I'm like, no, I'm good. And she kind of looked at me, she's like, please? and I was like, and she's like, can you help me out here? And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll just turn it off, because, you know, you flip the off switch. She's like, okay, that's fine. I flipped it off, and she took two steps up the aisle, turned it back on, waving my blue one around. And so anyway, as you looked around the stadium, and I took a video and tweeted it out, there's literally all red in my one blue one that was left. So, and I still have it. I have my blue and my red one that I brought home. And so there you go. Kind of a pretty funny screw up by the Coliseum. And
how do you mess that up?
I don't know.
How do you mess that up?
I don't know.
Why do you even order blue?
I think, you know, it's probably like Oriental Trading Companies, like screwed up somewhere, right? Like where they get these things in some mass shipment from who knows where. Is that what they
call? But you're putting them out on the seats.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell if it's red or blue?
No, like it's from white. It's like, it was okay. White. And so until you turn it on, I don't think you know what color it is, but you know, you'd still maybe want to, I don't know. Maybe the boxes all said red and someone screwed up, you know, whatever. Someone screwed up at the shipment center.
Somebody on the inside. We've got somebody on the inside trolling Iowa State.
I like that. It's great.
It's kind of like someone on the inside of the Trump administration putting Batman quotes into his inaugural speech. Like someone on the inside is playing a great joke.
I love that. Yeah, I think you're right. I really like to think that's what happened, that there was like a prank of some KU fan somehow ended up with some power to distribute those things or order those things and ended up with blue ones. But yep. So that was a funny part of it. And so actually, you know, talking about the boo birds and getting into the game, you're right. The boos are unbelievable. Like I've been to these games. I've been to three games now at Hilton, by the way. We've won all three. So I think I need to maybe go to all the rest of them. But so anyone that wants to maybe make that happen, just let me know. But the booing it's ridiculous. So it starts from tip, right? The first thing that happens, any foul, any whistle, boo, right? But then I started figuring it out. I was looking at the, you know, kind of being part of the crowd and sort of trying to understand it. Like, why do they do this? What's the deal? And you start to realize, as maybe an outsider, that the building kind of encourages it. Like the even that like the athletics department encourages it, because what happens is, let's just say there's a foul on whatever, Monte Morris, and everyone boos, right? Okay, immediate boo. And then there's like this short lull, because in 5 seconds they show the replay of whatever happened on the screen. No matter what happens, if there's any booing, immediate replay, which is kind of crazy, right? Because, you know, doesn't seem like that really happens anywhere else. They show it on the and then so there's this boo, it kind of trails off. They show the replay, and then it just boo, no matter what it is, even if the replay is like an obvious foul. So that part's funny. But even more crazy is the announcer, like the PA announcer, whenever there's a foul that's sort of even like potentially questionable, even his tone of voice invites booing. It's like, foul on Monte Morris? Like, it's not even, you know, like most people are like, foul, Monte Morris or whatever. But even this tone of voice just invites these crazy old white dudes to just lose their shit and boo like crazy. And it is a sight to be seen, man. You can't really explain it unless you're there. But I'm sure it comes through on TV, but it's something else in person.
You know, I'm surprised they let Mel Weatherwax around anymore. Oh, like, man. Especially for this game, because I saw pictures on Twitter of him, you know, right up front and then like in the hallway of the locker room, like where the players go out, where the KU players were going in and out, like outside the KU locker room. Like, I understand that they let big donors do things like that, and apparently he is a big donor, but you kind of, like, this guy who tried to fight Bill Self 3 years ago, you kind of maybe like tell him to stay home for this game, right?
Yeah, you'd think. No, they love that shit, man. I think that secretly they're like, this guy is awesome. I'm serious. Well, like, it's not a.
Yeah, no, like, we would too. We would too.
But even the athletics department, I'm telling you, like, everything they do sort of encourages this. I don't know, frankly, I think the refs. It sort of gets any kind of ref that's been around the block and been there a number of times and whatever. At the end of the day, I think they realize that the booing is just ridiculous and they're not going to, it doesn't even faze them. Right. But if you're sort of new or some of that stuff gets to you or something else, you know, you could even there was a stretch where one of the refs made the call. Right. And then he was overruled. Same ref overruled twice in 3 plays. And the guy that immediately made the call, was in the best position. I had great angles on both calls. He was in the best position to make the call and was overruled after the boos by another ref. And the second time it happened, Self walked out onto the court and grabbed the ref that was getting overruled and was like, why are you letting them overrule you? You were in position. You could tell that was the conversation that was going on. And you know, maybe some of that it has to do with the boos. Who knows? But... you know, we've talked about this a lot. The boos start to lose their luster when you boo everything. You save the heavy boos for like the real, you know, stuff that happens that's bad. If you boo everything, it's just like the, you know, you kind of lose your boo credibility, right?
I agree.
Anyway. Well, it was a good win.
Good win. Huge good win.
Yeah, we talked about that being a game that, though, if you go on the road and beat Iowa State, those are the kinds of wins at Iowa State. Those are the kinds of wins that win you the Big 12, right? I mean, losing at West Virginia, losing at at Baylor, or even losing at K-State or whatever, like, those things will happen. But going and winning games that maybe you're a 1 point or 2 point favorite in, those and winning those games, those are the ones that win you the conference, and obviously a huge one, especially coming up with this big week ahead. Andrew, what do you want to say we talk about the Texas game?
I want to talk about the first 8 minutes of the Texas game, and then I want to forget the rest of it. Because first 8 minutes were great. We were getting steals on basically every trip down the floor.
Yeah.
We were getting fast break buckets. We were getting three-pointers. Devontae Graham had 15 points in the first half. He had like 12 of those in the first few minutes. Everyone was clicking. And then from that point on, we weren't all that great. Yeah. We were fine. We just kind of coasted the rest of the way to get the win, which is fine. But if we can play like we did the first 8 minutes and stretch that out, not to 40 minutes, because that's not going to be possible, but stretch that out a little bit further, there's not going to be a team that can beat the Kansas Jayhawks. But, you know, if you play like you did the last 32 minutes, you're going to lose some games.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, those first several minutes were crazy. And it was almost like flipping the switch. It was havoc on the other side, right? The Jayhawks were bringing the havoc. They were trapping. They were picking up, you know, full court or at least you know, half court or three quarter court press, and really causing some problems. And Texas, to their credit, did kind of, you know, figure out how to get out of that, and then you know, made some shots and got back into it or whatever. We kind of got cold from the field. All of our points seemingly were coming on fast break, but it was a crazy start to the game. And something, you know, we've talked about this a little bit, the fact that we've got such quick guards that maybe it does sort of make sense to do some of that pressure defense, maybe some press mixed in with some double teams and things like that, to force those steals and get those turnovers, because we're so good in transition. I mean, so good. I don't remember a KU team this good in transition since maybe 08 and maybe even dating back to the Roy days. Like, we are so good in transition. And to get those transition opportunities and get those steals seems so important to our offense. It makes you wonder if maybe we'll see a little bit more of that, you know, at least showing some of that down the stretch here. We'll see.
I think so. And that's going to be a crucial way of getting buckets and getting, you know, having defense turn into offense. You know, the defense, if you look at the KenPom rankings, isn't great right now. I think we're ranked 30th.
Yeah.
I think that'll go up. I'm not concerned about that. You know, oh no, we're the 30th team. That number's going to go up. But I mean, it at least shows you where you need to improve and where the weaknesses are. I don't think there's much weakness on offense. You know,
except in the post.
I mean, except in the post, but I mean, we're not struggling to score points. So there's been some stretches where we struggle to score points. And honestly, that first half of the Texas game, we only shot 41% from the field, and Texas was shooting 49%.
Turning the ball over on half their possessions.
Right. Well, and then we started to turn the ball over, and it was, you know, kind of went cold. I'm not concerned about the offense. You know, maybe Landon Lucas's post moves aren't as great as, you know, in the past from our posts, but that's not keeping me up at night. What's keeping me up at night is, you know, the lack of finding what this defense needs to be from a team defense perspective. I can't point to one single person and say this person's not playing defense, but it's not coming quite together yet to a point where we are an elite defensive team, or at least the level of defense we need to be to win a national championship.
I agree. The identity is missing on defense. And whether we need to, you know, I don't know what the answer is. I don't think zone is the answer. I mean, it'd be nice if with Josh Jackson up front with that long arms and being able to, I mean, I guess you could say maybe there's an opportunity for zone with him in the game. But I don't know, man. The crazy part to me is how many career highs we're giving up to post players this year. It seems like every game some post player ends up with a freaking career high, which happened again. Allen looked amazing. I mean, he freaking had 19 boards and 22 points. That's insane numbers. I mean, not since I'm just trying to think of who's had 19 or 20 boards inside Allen Fieldhouse as a you know, as opposing player. That's insane numbers. He had 7 offensive rebounds, which, get out of here. But yeah, I guess that's the thing that's kind of driving me nuts. If we go against, I mean, Baylor, that's a team that sort of scares me. I mean, if they're making any shots from the outside plus scoring at will in the paint, which they probably will given everything we've seen, I mean, that we're going to have to score a lot of points to keep up with them. They have a great post presence. And the good news is there aren't very many other teams that do. You know, even Kentucky, if we're talking about that game, or West Virginia is not. And obviously we saw that Iowa State, Landon Lucas looked like a monster in there because they had just no post presence. But that scares me a little bit. If we go up against a team that's got a great post or even an average post, we're making average guys look like Wilt Chamberlain in there.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's got to be corrected. You know, and I think we'll get there. I mean, it's just we're not as big as we usually are. I mean, Josh Jackson's playing the 4, and there's good and bad that comes with that.
Right.
Josh Jackson was on Jarrett Allen for most of the game. And for the most part, I thought he did pretty well, but, you know, did give up career highs to him. Something that's got to be fixed. So, I mean, takeaways from this Texas game, I don't know if there's a whole lot, but I think it's that my one thing is when the defense is on, we're going to be a tough team on both sides of the floor, defensively and in transition on offense. And that's got to be a key that, you know, we haven't peaked in that area yet, which has got to be scary for other teams. If we can peak in that area, you know, we're not going to lose.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's talk about the Big 12 from this past week and also get into some power rankings.
Playing a little defense. You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar signs.
All right, quick recap of the games this week. Obviously, we had the KU win at Iowa State. Baylor went to Texas, won by 10. The West Virginia Oklahoma game, Andrew, in Morgantown. Can you believe that overtime victory? Oklahoma beats West Virginia 89-87.
Yeah, Jordan Woodard. Misses a free throw at the end of regulation that would have won it, but redeems himself and gets the win in overtime. In Morgantown, you know, the worst team in the Big 12 possibly goes in and beats one of the best teams at home. If we're going to win the Big 12, we can't count on wins like that.
Yeah.
So that's just gravy. That's just gravy in terms of we want to win that championship. You know, we just can't have similar slip-ups.
Exactly. And Oklahoma, I think, is playing better with Woodard back, obviously. Just a different team with him on the court. Beat West Virginia and then almost beat Iowa State later that week. We also had K-State have a good week, winning two games, beating Oklahoma State and also yesterday West Virginia. So big week for K-State. You know, Andrew, I think they're pretty good. Like, they scored 96 points against Oklahoma State. Like, 96.
Well, you know, are they a tournament team? I think they're a tournament team.
I wasn't sure.
When they played us, you know, I kind of came around on them. You know, they're all right. They're going to make the tournament. Where do you think they finish in the Big 12? Not where they're power ranked, not how good they are right now. Where do you think they finish?
I mean, at this point, you almost have to think maybe fourth or, potentially even third or probably fourth or fifth, though, if you think about it, unless West Virginia just keeps falling off. I mean, they got three losses now.
Yeah, they have three losses.
Three losses they're in the Big 12.
They're technically tied with K-State right now.
Yeah. And so I don't know, maybe probably fourth or fifth, most likely. I mean, Iowa State has done pretty well. They are most likely to be fourth, but I'd put K-State probably fifth at this point. You know, that was a huge win against West Virginia at home. If they can hold serve at home and, I mean, who knows, maybe beat us at home or something, that would go a long ways. They did lose, I think, to Baylor at home already. Yeah, they did. That was last week, right? So they do have one home loss, but obviously a great, great win for them. I thought maybe the most surprising game of the week, maybe other than the Oklahoma win, was the Texas Tech Oklahoma State score in Lubbock. Oklahoma State won by almost 20 points in Lubbock. Oklahoma State 83-64. What do you think of that game? That was kind of that seemed like the craziest one, other than maybe the Oklahoma game.
I think so, but I think Oklahoma State just had this built up aggression of like, how come we haven't won a Big 12 game yet? We're so good, and we're 0-6. Like, what's going on? And, you know, they finally get a win.
Yeah.
It just happened to come away. That was building up for a while. I mean, they were going to get one.
I agree. And then Baylor at TCU was the other game from Saturday that was actually really close throughout the game, and Baylor pulled away late. I was kind of hoping TCU might find a way to win that game, because I think TCU is going to win some games at home. Obviously, we know they're a pretty good team this year. So, interesting week in the Big 12. Let's just quickly look forward. There's only one Big 12 game this week for everyone in the Big 12 because of the good old SEC Big 12 challenge on Saturday. Well, let's talk about the one Big 12 game for each team. Oklahoma State goes or plays TCU at home. Texas, Oklahoma. West Virginia, Kansas, obviously a big one. Here's a good one, Andrew. K-State at Iowa State. What do you think of that?
Armageddon.
Game? The Farmageddon. See, this will be a big one to kind of determine what we were talking about earlier. If K-State goes and steals one at Iowa State, obviously that would be a huge win. Obviously a big resume win too. So we'll see on that one. And then Texas Tech goes to Baylor. Another kind of an game. So obviously the biggest one this week is the KU at West Virginia game. And we will see what happens there. And then, of course, on Saturday, there are 9 terrible games and 1 really good one. Obviously, Kansas going to Kentucky. I'm looking at these games, Andrew. I mean, the rest of the SEC Big 12 Challenge is so boring. I mean, it's so bad.
The SEC is just so bad.
They're bad.
Kentucky's really good. Florida is pretty good. And then,
but they keep losing.
Yeah.
Like, Florida's not – I mean, and unfortunately, Florida, who – I think you're right, is maybe the second best team on, maybe not on paper, but just from eyeballs, plays Oklahoma in Norman. So, I mean, they might lose that game. There's a chance that the Big 12 comes out and wins like 8 of these, right?
We're 3-0 so far. This is the fourth year of it. We're 3-0. The SEC hasn't really even come close, you know, and they get to bench their 4 worst or their 6 worst teams, right? Or the 4 worst teams, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
They're so much bigger. Like, Missouri doesn't get to play anybody.
Womp, womp.
Yeah. Here's a question. So we've played Florida in this thing. We've played Kentucky in this thing. Who would we play if they continue going? And I think they are. Who would we play next? Who would you want to play next?
Oh, I mean, I'd probably still stay playing Kentucky. I think that's the most fun. It's good for TV. Good for recruiting.
I don't think they'll do that.
I understand. Vandy or I don't know. I mean, Missouri.
Yeah, you can't play Kentucky because of the Champions Classic. So you have to play them on the off year, one of the off years of the Champions Classic. So, you know, we've played like Kentucky 4 years in a row now. Maybe 5 years in a row now.
Yeah, which is great. So, I think it's great. Even though we haven't fared that well. We did win last year, but I think it's a fun game. It's obviously we got game day Saturday night, or Saturday, and then Saturday night game in Lexington. It's going to be wild. So no, I'm all for it. I wish, I don't know. Part of me wishes we could play Missouri, 'cause I think we'd win by 100 this year.
maybe 100, maybe next year.
But whatever. Hey. I think that would be fun.
I'm gonna call timeout. I gotta pee.
Okay. PP timeout. Enjoy this musical interlude during the PP timeout. And we're back. Okay, Andrew, wrapping up that point, how many games over under 7 will the Big 12 win in the Big 12 SEC showdown?
I think that's the right number. Oh. Well,
over under 7.
Because you don't have a half.
Right.
Can I say push? I think 7's the good number.
So you're going to take. You're going to bet the green 00? Is that what you're doing right now?
Yeah.
Pick red or black, Andrew.
I'll take the over. Life's too short to bet the under.
Life's too short to bet the tie in Baccarat. Life's too short to bet the 00. Come on, give me something. You're not betting big red in the craps table. I don't want to see a 7 better. Give me something.
Yeah, I said over. Life's too short to bet the under. I'll take 8. No, and I think in the past we've won 6 and 7. I think 6 twice and 7 once. I think this is the year we kind of step it up.
All right. I'm with you. I hope so. I think we will too. Who knows? Never know, though. You never know what's going to happen in the old Big 12 SEC showdown, as they say. Andrew.
Never know, Gary.
That's what they say. All right, Andrew, let's get into some go-go power rankings. The power lies on their side. Go, go, power. KU remains number 1, undefeated in the Big 12, right? Here's right. where it gets interesting. We had West Virginia there last week. West Virginia had a not good week. I think Baylor's probably got to retake that spot, correct?
I think so. Even though West Virginia destroyed Baylor.
I know.
So they've got, I know. They've got that head-to-head win. West Virginia did not have a good
West
week.
West Virginia's got three losses.
Did not have a good week. Lost two games. Won Oklahoma at home. You shouldn't lose that.
Can't lose
if you
that.
Want to be competitive, you can't lose that one. And then at K-State, that's understandable. It's hard to win there. But, you know, you're going to lose your number two spot if you do that.
You're going to lose it. And they did. Andrew, I think they do stay number three, though, right?
Yeah, I think it's a clear top three. It's going to take a lot more losses and some big upsets for someone to crack the top three.
Agreed.
Who's not named Kansas, Baylor, or West Virginia. So we're going to go KU, Baylor, West Virginia. You know, and I think there's a strong middle class here, too. You know, we've got some K-State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, TCU, kind of that range of folks. Who do you put number four?
This is tough. I think I'm still sticking with Iowa State over K-State, but I'm teetering on that. I think this week will certainly tell us a lot when they certainly play each other. If Iowa State dump trucks them, I'll feel better. If K-State has a close loss or wins, you know, maybe next week I flip that around.
I think you're right. So I think you go Iowa State and then K-State.
That's correct.
Four or five. Okay. So and then it's, you know, the Texas schools who are not named Baylor or Texas. So you've Texas Tech and TCU, I think, are the next 6 and 7.
Yeah, TCU had a rough week. I still maybe like them a little bit more than Texas Tech. That Texas Tech drubbing at Oklahoma State still kind of sticking with me. So I'm actually going to put TCU next.
I do
both, both of them are 3 and 4 in the Big 12. But, you know, so whatever, it's kind of close right there. But I think TCU, then Texas Tech.
All right. So then you've got your bottom three. You know, Oklahoma State finally gets a win against Texas Tech. You've got Texas and Oklahoma. Oklahoma's, you know, kind of got some good wins recently.
That's a swagger back.
How do you put those last three together?
I think it goes Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas. And the only reason Oklahoma jumps Oklahoma State for me this week is that win at West Virginia. You got it. That's a good win no matter who you are.
Yeah, got to give them credit for that. That's pretty good. So I think that may be a list that stays fairly firm. Like we've got enough games under our belt where you may see some movement, but I feel confident in that list.
What if KU loses 4 of the next 5?
Well, that's a different story. Don't say that out loud.
Possible. All right. Well, let's.
Well, even if it is possible,
don't say it out loud.
We're still going to be in a good spot.
Just it's true.
From where we are, you know, it's going to be a little tougher to win the Big 12, but I still think we're in a good spot.
Well, we'll get into that.
We've got some leeway, but let's just avoid all that.
And I agree. Let's we'll certainly get into the rest of the schedule here shortly. Andrew, how about a quick water cooler conversation though?
Water cooler conversation.
At the beginning of this podcast, you talked about how this week might be a battle, Andrew. And I know that some people don't like it when you bring like war analogies into sports. I do like it, and I say that we continue to do it. In fact, we're going to take it a little too far and let people know what you need to do to prepare for this week, right? The team and the folks at home. Battle preparations is the subject matter. And Andrew, you and I were talking this over a little bit. What kinds of things do you do in prep for battle generally? We're talking in any kind of battle, whether it's a Game of Thrones world of battle, whether it's you know, going to a War of 1812 battle. I'm just making up stuff now. What are a couple of the top level things you do?
Well, there's a lot you can do, and mostly when we talked about this, I was just thinking about Game of Thrones.
Okay,
that's where my head went, so that's where all of these connections are gonna be. But okay. I think when you've got a big battle coming up, you've got to relax, right?
Sure,
you gotta have some relaxation. So I think. We were thinking of, you know, before the big battle of Blackwater in Game of Thrones, Bronn and the Hound were enjoying a nice horn of ale. and reminiscing of old times. So I think that we need to, you know, on our trip to Morgantown, we need to just, you know, have a little relaxation maybe on the plane ride over to Pittsburgh and or wherever we fly into nowadays. And just relax.
Okay. Something else you think you do. You gotta have a plan, right?
Oh, you gotta have a plan.
You gotta have a plan. And here's a quote from President Eisenhower. In preparing for battle, I have always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Okay. So to that end, Andrew, what are some things we need to be doing right now with our planning for this week?
Well, you got to get ready for that press.
Okay.
And you're not going to, you know, have a one way quick fix of doing that press because they do it differently all the time. So you just got to be prepared and planned for how to get that ball across half court and not turn it. Work on fundamentals, work on, you know, different situations, but don't have one set way to do it because that's not going to work.
What about the old 5-on-9 or 5-on-10? Is that the way you do it? You like put the whole red team out there and have them all play at once?
I hope so. Well, we haven't won there since before Wiggins, right?
I think so.
Since McLemore. We haven't won there since McLemore. That's 2013.
That sounds right.
That's a long time. So I think that's how we've practiced for him before. But maybe that's not the right way to do it. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Okay. Well, either way, you obviously have to have a plan. And you have to mentally prepare, Andrew, as well. You know, you see folks mentally prepare in different ways. How would you mentally prepare for this week?
Mostly just watching Fast and the Furious movies.
Okay.
Just relaxing.
Okay.
Just relax.
Fair enough. Dom really gets there for you. It helps you relax. Yeah, just
really hones in on family, you know, gets you to value family.
It's a good point. Okay. Andrew, it seems like something else you have to do. And this is more of a movie thing, but you have to search for that magical, I think you called it a magical amulet, right? Something magical that you can pull out that helps you in battle. So,
well, what I meant there is like you need your hero to, you know, take that next step.
Okay.
You need your hero to turn from an ordinary man to a superhuman being, and mostly we just need Josh Jackson to finally become the hero he was always meant to be. He's been pretty good, but now he needs to, you know, find some sort of extraordinary source of power and just do a bunch of dunks.
I like that. I absolutely like that. And then last, Andrew, you know, seemingly before you have your battle, you have to have a good meal, right? You have to have a good meal planning.
Yeah. It's restaurant week in Kansas City. <It is. laughs> Where would you send the Jayhawks to eat before they go?
Ooh, that's a good question. I had the Bristol last night. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see. We had Capital Grill. That was pretty good too. You and I and the ladies went to there and that was good. I don't know, Andrew. I think that the important part is you have a meal in Kansas, not in Morgantown, right? You have to either bring the food with you or eat it all here. You don't want to eat there, right?
Right, because you're just going to end up eating
squirrels. Yeah, it's just like squirrels after it's like different ways to eat squirrels. That's what you would be eating. So we don't want that. You don't want your guy, especially when they're not used to it. Like maybe if you're used to eating squirrels, it's kind of like the going to Colorado and playing in the mountain air. Like if you're used to it, that's fine. But if you're not used to it, you know, you're at a disadvantage. The guys in West Virginia, they're used to squirrels, eating squirrels. So it's an advantage. So we want to bring our own food. Anything else, Andrew?
You know, we just got to get ready. You got to understand that this is a long slog. You know, we've only lost once. If we can get through this, you know, with only a couple losses, we're going to be in prime position. But this is really the meat of the schedule this next month, this next 8 games, where, you know, we're going to face a list of foes that's, you know, I'd put up against anybody. This is going to be tough. But, you know, we've got the team to win these games.
Yeah.
And we may not win them all. I hope we do. I think we could win them all. But, you know, we're going to be competitive, and this is going to get us ready for March and hopefully put us in a good position to win the Big 12.
Let's talk about this West Virginia game, Andrew. Looking at KenPom, even despite their two losses this week and four losses overall, they're still number four in KenPom. That's geared mostly because of their defense, but also their offense as well. You know, they have just ridiculous offensive rebound percentage. They get to the foul line a lot, obviously. KenPom likes those things, the numbers do, and they obviously have a ton of steals and forced transition and get a lot of easy buckets, which KenPom likes that too. But what do you think of this West Virginia team? You know, as we mentioned, three losses: Texas Tech in overtime, Oklahoma in overtime, and then loss at Kansas State. They've got, let's see, one, two, yeah, three losses, and the fourth one, the only other one is a loss to Temple, which is kind of a crazy game on a neutral court. Thoughts on this West Virginia game?
Well, I think we just can't give an opportunity to stay in the game. We've got to kind of put them away and close out the game, because I think this game's going to be close. But, you know, as we've seen in the past, if he gets close at the end, you know, their crowd, you know, the way they play, you know, maybe a ref swallows a whistle at the end, which we've seen happen in the past. That happens at Allen Fieldhouse too. Mm-hmm. But you can't give them that opportunity to come back via that manner. So you got to put them away early, or put them away and not let them get back into the game. You got to really close out this game if you have the opportunity to.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, there's not the one crazy thing is there's not like one person you need to stop. It's a team effort. I mean, Javon Carter probably is the best offensive player on the team, but they got so many guys that all are kind of cut from the same mold that come out there and obviously a lot of it's geared toward pressure. I mean, they don't run like a really strong half court offense or anything that scares you. If they're making shots, you know, that obviously changes a lot, but this team, you know, really what it comes down to obviously is how you handle the press. Baylor went in there and just could not, I mean, they couldn't get out of their own way. It was all turnovers. And then they obviously got away from them. We have to do the same thing to stay composed. You know, we've got two good point guards on our team. We've got Svi, who can handle the ball a little bit. We've got Josh Jackson, who can handle the ball a little bit. LeGerald Vick, who can handle the ball a little bit. Hopefully, I think in a lot of ways, we'll see that four-guard lineup most of this game. You know, against Texas, we saw a lot of Carlton and Landon playing together. I'm not sure that'll happen here as much, just given the matchup. We want some ball handlers on the court, be able to bust that press. And, Andrew, if you think about it, there's a real opportunity against these guys. If we plan this right, I mean, if you play West Virginia and you could bust the press, you can score a lot of points because there's a lot of possessions and there's a lot of potentially easy shots if you can get through the press. And wouldn't it be nice if we could just somehow early on bust their press so hard that they are kind of forced to play a little differently?
You know, that's the idea. You know, they may have to keep that press going to kind of come back in a game like that. But, you know, You really want to demoralize them early and let them know that, you know, what you're doing isn't working. It's not going to work against us. You got to do something else.
Yep. So here's hoping. Obviously, it's vital to get off to a good start. We've done that, you know, after we were kind of lamenting Kansas's early starts last week against the two Oklahoma teams. They came out with a great start in Ames and an even better start against Texas at home. So hopefully they can continue that stretch of really getting off to a good start, especially on the road. It's so important. Get the crowd out of it and, you know, show them that it's not going to be an easy game. So that will be a fun game, Andrew. And then, of course, we got to talk about this Kentucky matchup on Saturday. It will be, as we said, the College Game Day game. College Game Day will be in Lexington. We will have all kinds of fun stuff with that I will probably not watch. We will, you know, it's a crazy game. Kentucky's number two in KenPom. They've been number one for a while as well. They are really, really good and obviously hard to beat on the road. But it has been done this year. UCLA went in there and won and scored 97 points to do so, but they did win. Kentucky can score at will. It's a great offense, And, you know, I think the main thing for this is we're going to have to make shots, right?
I think we're going to have to make shots, and I think that this is going to be a real opportunity for our defense to step up. You know, if our defense is really going to be an elite defense, this is going to be the time where they need to show it. But, you know, shots have to fall to beat this team. You got to have an elite offense because they're going to score. They're going to score, and you got to score with them.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously Malik Monk, people have talked about a lot, is going off with some crazy point totals, shooting the three pretty well. But he's pretty streaky as well. De'Aaron Fox is great. Another really, really good player. Isaiah Briscoe, go down the list. I mean, they've got great players, as they always do. But I think the difference is this year they don't have that dominant rim protector, dominant inside, you know, person that we've seen in recent years that would just clean up everything on the defensive end. Like, for instance, Frank driving in and just getting swatted all the time. I'm not sure that's going to happen this game. I think it's going to be much more guard oriented, which probably helps our team maybe more than in years past. And so, you know, obviously it's going to be important to make shots and make it hard for them, but I don't know. It's going to obviously be a very tough game. And I was looking at the KenPom numbers for Kentucky, Andrew. They are predicted to win the rest of their games, every single one. And so,
well, SEC.
Yeah, and then even the Kansas game, they have, according to KenPom, a 75% chance to win, and they've got it at 91-84. So we'll see. But yeah, they've obviously got a great offense. That's going to be, you know, part of the deal. And you know, we've shown that we are best when we are in transition and we are making three-pointers. And I think we're going to have to do both of those things really well to beat Kentucky and, you know, frankly, to beat West Virginia as well. So crazy couple games coming up this week with those two games. Let's also peek ahead, Andrew, to the next six games after that. As you mentioned, it was kind of an eight-game gauntlet, including these two. We've got Baylor at home, Iowa State at home, K-State away, Tech away, West Virginia at home, and Baylor away. So we play five of these games on the road. Let's just assume, because we've got pretty good precedent to do so, that we win our three games at home and go 3-5 over this stretch. That would include a loss at Kentucky. People are going to be losing their shit, right? 3-5 stretch, oh my God. Terrible stretch, 3-5. But you look at it, Andrew, even if we go 3-5, even if we go 3-5, our last four games are against teams that we can beat. It's TCU, Texas, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. And two of those games, the TCU game might be the toughest of the three, and that's at home. So if we can even get through this stretch just winning our home games, we'd be 14-4 in the Big 12, assuming we would win those last four, which will certainly be favored in almost all of them by double digits. The Oklahoma State away game to close the year could be interesting, but that will be, I mean, obviously this stretch between now and whatever that is, the TCU game, February 22nd, the next month is going to be a very difficult stretch. But if we can go even just 3-5, Andrew, 3-5 in this stretch still gets us likely to 14-4 and likely to win the league. If we somehow win one of those on the road and go 4-4 in this stretch, I think we're almost guaranteed a one seed. What do you think?
Well, it depends on that Kentucky game. The Kentucky game does not matter at all for the Big 12. So it's all about the Big 12 games. And really, this is just a glorified exhibition. Maybe it's a contest for a one seed. Maybe it's a contest at the end to see who gets overall number one, maybe, or who's in that conversation. But realistically, it's just an exhibition game. It's a non-conference game. But it'll be a real test to see where we are. But the Big 12 games are the ones that kind of really matter for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, beyond that, we've got to see where we are. I mean, if we lose three of them, and or lose four of them, 14-4 can win the league.
I think it 13 will win the league.
13-5 could tie for the league title. So, you know, you could still afford one of the losses, like at Oklahoma State or something like that. So it's going to be a real test. If you come out of this, you know, looking good, you're going to be looking good for everything in March.
Yeah, and it's also should be noted that most of Baylor's games, you know, some of their schedule is backloaded. Obviously, they've had some, you know, haven't played us yet, but assuming that Baylor is our key competition here, if West Virginia doesn't, unless West Virginia like wins out or something, assuming Baylor's our key competition for the Big 12, they'll play us, you know, obviously on February 1st at Allen Fieldhouse. Maybe that we win that game and they've got two losses, but then they go, you know, K-State, Oklahoma State, TCU, Texas Tech. So there's a stretch there that, and that K-State game is at home. There's a stretch there that they could win four in a row and they could actually be ahead of us or tied with us in the Big 12 at that time. But Andrew, their last few games are KU, Oklahoma, Iowa State, West Virginia, Texas. So hopefully in that stretch, they would do us some favors and lose a couple down the stretch where we are playing our easier stretch the last four games and winning those games to pull away and win the Big 12. So I guess I'm not terribly concerned about this little stretch here, you know, being a deal breaker for the Big 12, even if we lose four of those, even if we lose all of our home game or all of our away games, which would suck. Like it'd suck. Like we'd talk about it and it would suck. Right. But I think it's important that everyone keeps some real perspective on what we've done to date, you know, winning our first seven games in the Big 12 and certainly having the opportunity, even with some of these losses in this stretch to pull away late. So I guess we'll see. It'll be a huge week. If we go to Morgantown and win, I think that's one of those games, Andrew, that you can just everyone in the media will be like, okay, well, KU wins the Big 12 again, right? Because those are the ones that if you go on the road and win those games, like there's no stopping you.
I think you're right. So give me a prediction.
Man, I think the thing is like this team is so prepared on paper to be a team that could beat West Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. Like just having the guards and like composed like upperclassmen guards between Frank and Vontae and Sfi and Vic and you know, even Josh Jackson plays above his years when it comes to vision and sort of, I mean, he's had some hiccups more recently, but I don't know. I just think we have a decent chance here. I think an early start is important. I don't know though. I mean, we will not be favored in that game. I think it'll be a close possession game late and maybe due to some whistles we lose. Well, whistles are important too. If they're fouling every possession and only getting a third of them called like normal, I think it's going to be a long, long game because we can't make our free throws anyway. I don't know. I say we probably lose the next two.
Okay. I say I'm going to do it. I'll just say we win both. And everyone feels our wrath and knows that.
I like
this
that.
This is our league and this is our year.
Like you would take one and one though, right?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, me too. You know, we've had this podcast on Sundays the last several weeks and we keep saying, well, it was a 2-0 week. Well, it was a 2-0 week. Wouldn't it be nice to come back and say, well, it's a 2-0 week next week? But yeah, I would definitely take one win. I don't even care which one. It actually, here's the thing. If you could pick one, which one would you take? That's the real question.
West Virginia.
Would you? Okay. I'd love to beat Kentucky. I mean, it's more of like a, I don't know. I guess for the sake of the streak, I'll also say West Virginia, but I think we can keep the streak and beat Kentucky. So maybe I would actually lean Kentucky. We'll see. We shall see, Andrew. All right. Was there anything else before we get out of here?
It's going to be a big week. Let's get ready. Let's get ready.
Get prepared.
Do whatever you need to do at home. Do whatever you need to do. Cause it's going to help.
Yep. Yep. Of course, you know, this planning thing, one of my favorite quotes is from, let's see if you recognize this one. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
It's Mike Tyson.
It's Mike Tyson. So that's the other thing. We got to be able to, once you get punched in the face, what are we going to do? Are we going to fold? Are we going to come back? I think this team definitely has the guts to pull back into any kind of game. So it's going to be fun. Can't wait. Find us on Jayhawk Talk @Sherlock Hoops on Twitter. Leave us a comment on iTunes. helps us to get the podcast out to new listeners. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. The second I hit submit on this little podcast, it goes right to your phone or device if you have subscribed. Otherwise, you might have to wait a few hours or 12 hours or whenever iTunes gets around to posting it. So subscribe if you haven't done that. Find us certainly on Twitter and let us know if what your plans are for preparing for this week. And hopefully, Andrew, hopefully we got at least one win, maybe two, to talk about next week. Until then, Rock Chalk. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing, with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering, with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, this baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it.